concept of Korech.
Where are you?
So this
before
is
the Mishnah. Or?
This is Kuftet Vav Amud Aleph. There's
on top of the page.
So I think it's one daf before that, or whatever. Kuftet Zayin. So that's one before. Yeah. So we would start would be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, like 9 lines from the top. Amar Ravina, Amar Li Rav Misharshia. So the background here is this is the Gemara's discussion about the concept, the thing that we do at the Seder called Korech, which is making the sandwich. After you eat matzah, then you eat maror, then you eat a sandwich with both of them together. And so this is the discussion in the Gemara of this concept. It's one of these things where you read it once and it seems kind of nice, whatever, it doesn't seem too complicated, and then you start to think about it again and you realize that it's not simple, and then you start to try and read what people write about it, and then you know that it's not simple because it gets very crazy. We're not going to go into all of the details. And I think in the time that we have, I think this will really be stretched out over more than one session. So in the time that we have, I don't want to get too involved in the details. But we'll go through the Gemara, and then I wanted to talk about one overarching question that the sugya is sort of concerned with. So if we start here at Amar, it's Amar Ravina, Amar Li Rav Misharshia, Berei De Rav Natan, Hachi Amar Hillel. So that's where we see where I am. So Ravina says, in the name of Rav Misharshia, the son of Rav Natan, told me that Hillel said as follows. Hillel of, Hillel and Shammai fame. Some people have a gear so that it's not. Okay. It could be Rav Hillel. Mishmei de Gemara, in terms of logic, or in terms of, it could be it's logic, it could be he has a tradition. Lo nichroch inish matza umaror bahadeh hadadeh.
Is that a term that you often see? I've never seen the Gemara self-referencing itself.
Yeah, so Gemara in the Gemara's language means reasoning. Just the word Gemara, Gamir Vesavir, or it could be reasoning, it could be learning, like some sort of, like to learn a tradition, to repeat, I think, a tradition. Not to repeat as much as to learn.
So it's not referring to this book.
No, it's not. I mean, we call the book the Gemara, but yeah. And so the idea here, I think in this case, it makes more sense. I see now I have this very long note from one time when I learned this. But in this context, it seems to be a point about reasoning. I have reasoned as follows. Based on my reasoning, I came to the following conclusion. Mishmei de Gemara. Lo nichroch inish matza umaror behade hadade v'nichol. Mishmum de sviralan matza bezmanazeh de oraita umaror de rabanan. So Hillel said that today his practice, as we'll see at some point, not soon, was to eat for sure matzah and maror together. Part of what we have to discuss is if he also included the Korban Pesach, but the matzah and the maror, he ate them together. The language that's used by the Gemara is lichroch, which is to wrap, and that's because the matzahs that they had in the times of the Talmud were like lafas. Some people still eat them today. So you could actually wrap a matzah around the maror. So he says you shouldn't wrap a matzah you shouldn't wrap the maror into the matzah and eat them together. Why? Because during the time now that we don't have a Korban Pesach, the mitzvah of maror is only midrabanan. The Torah says, Amatzot murim yochluhu. And another place, Tzli'esh al murim. Tzli'esh umatzot al murim yochlu, if I'm not mistaken. What's derived is that maror only has deraita force when you also eat a korban pesach. If there's no korban pesach, there's no, as far as the Torah is concerned, you don't have to actually eat maror. So maror today is only derabanan. And, So why does that matter? You shouldn't wrap them together because since maror is derabanan, the maror, which is derabanan, if you eat it at the same time as the matzah, will nullify the matzah, which is at a Torah level. There's a big question about what exactly this nullification is. And this is already the first point when you're reading this Gemara where you just ask what is going on. Usually when we talk about bitzel, we use that word, it's talking about taste. The whole world of kashrus, you have a concept of bitzel b'shishim, something is nullified in 60 parts. And the reason for that is because we assume that once it's 60 parts, you don't taste it anymore. If you have something which is really sharp or really has a strong taste, and you can taste it in even more than 60 parts, then it's not nullified. If you put a hot pepper, which is usur for whatever reason, into something even more than 60 times, it's not going to be cancelled, because you can still taste it. So usually you assume that the taste, the bittel here is talking about taste, but as we'll see in a moment, that seems to not make a lot of sense here. Mevatel mata deraita, v'afilu leman de'amar, even the one who says, mitzvot ein mevatlo zu et zu, hane mile de'oraita b'de'oraita o de'rabanan b'de'rabanan, aval de'oraita v'de'rabanan, ati de'rabanan umivtelei l'de'oraita. And so the Gemara is alluding here to a debate, a question. If you're eating, if you have more than one eating, you have two mitzvot, several mitzvot of eating, and you do them at the same time, will they nullify each other? Will they cancel each other out? Or will it be considered as though you accomplished all of them together at the same time? So even the one that holds mitzvot or mat mevatlot zu et zu, or not mevatlot zu et zu, even the one who holds that you could eat more than one at once, that is only if you have two at the same level. If you have a deraita mitzvah and a deraita mitzvah, then you can eat both of them together. They won't cancel each other out. If you have a derabanan mitzvah and a derabanan mitzvah, you can eat them together. It'll be fine. But if you have a deraita mitzvah and a derabanan mitzvah, the derabanan mitzvah will knock out the deraita one. So how that cashes out for us, right? So we'll have to figure out why that is. How that cashes out for us is that if you had at the time when you have a korban pesach. So maror is midoraita, matzah is midoraita, you eat them both, all good. Now that the korban pesach is gone and maror is derabanan, if you would eat them together, the maror will cancel out the matzah. So you see, just at the plain level, the logic, it doesn't sound like it's possible that this is talking about taste. Because you could have the exact same piece of maror, you know, eat it when it's deraisa, you're all good. Eat it when it's derabanan, you have a problem. So clearly this is not talking about taste. Nevertheless, basically this divides, I don't get involved in this too much, but it subdivides into three camps in terms of the interpretations. One camp assumes it is talking about taste. But, it's not, and then you have to figure out what the Gemara is talking about. It's some sort of secondary issue of taste. So what it means is, we're not saying that the taste is totally nullified. What we're saying is, you can taste it there, but it's mixed in together with the taste of the other thing. You can still taste the matzah, but it's mixed in together with the taste of the maror, and in such a way that we will say, conceptually, it's like you're not eating any matzah. Because now it's not a clear matzah eating, it's a matzah eating together with something which is not deoraita mitzvah, together with something extra. It'd be like eating matzah and eating, I don't know, beetroot or something at the same time, whatever you're going to eat together. And that conceptually doesn't count as eating matzah. That's one camp. The second camp is that this has nothing to do with taste. It's just a concept. You can't, if I have to eat, I have a mitzvah to eat something, I can't eat it and add in all kinds, I mean, it boils down to something similar, I think, to the first one. I can't eat it and eat all kinds of other things at the same time and say, well, I have to have matzah. So I'll have matzah and I'll put tomatoes on it and I'll put some olive oil and I'll put cheese and I'll put whatever and then I'll eat it and that'll be count as my mitzvah of matzah. That cancels out. If you have something which is not really a mitzvah, it's going to cancel out conceptually the eating of the matzah, which it seems to me. And then there's a third possibility that's not straight conceptually, it's a little bit more technical, which is that if I have something involved in my eating, which is not at a deraita level, it's not at the level of the mitzvah, then there could be moments in the course of my eating which will be interrupted. I'm trying to eat the matzah.
You've got a half second effect.
It sounds like that's what they're saying. This is Rabbeinu David says. It sounds like what he's saying is, I'm going to be eating it, and I'm going to have maybe a moment where there's rove of maror. It's a majority, an overwhelming of majority, happens to be in my mouth right now, is mostly maror and only very little bit of matzah, and that's going to create an interruption in terms of my session of eating of the matzah. Or I could have a moment where I'm not eating any matzah. I have both things and I'm just eating maror right now. And since the maror is meaningless in this context, it's not midoraita, there's no Torah level, it's not a mitzvah, so that's going to break up the session of eating. And that is a different way of conceptually it being mevatel.
So we normally do this after we've eaten a matzah.
Right.
So we've made an achilat matzah proper, and we finished the mitzvah of eating matzah. So what does the Hillel sandwich accomplish?
Oh, so that's the core of what I want to get to. That's exactly the key. Right. So that's the point. So that, in just in terms of bittul, those are three possibilities. It could be taste. It could be pure conceptual. It could be breaking up my eating. Fine. In any event, Hillel here is trying to say that now that matzah is maror is dirabanan, you should eat the matzah by itself. We don't know yet what he says about the maror by itself, and that's a little bit of a spoiler. And we're going to get to this question. That's the question that I want to ask. Is at the bottom line, we have to read to the end of the Gemara first. But at the bottom line, what is the point of this? Why are we doing this today? Okay, so fine. So that's what we have here. Even the one who holds mitzvot ein mevatlo zu et zu, that's only if they're at the same level. But if you have a break in the level, if you're trying to accomplish deraita mitzvah, in that context, derabanan is not really meaningful. And if you're trying to do derabanan mitzvahs, there's a whole question: what if you just add something that is not a mitzvah in any way? So that could cancel out the other thing that you're eating. Okay, man tana. Now we're about halfway down the page. Man tana deshmaitale mitzvot ein mevatlo zu et zu. Who is the tana? Who is the one that said that mitzvahs do not cancel each other out? That's also Hillel. Hillel he. Detanya amru alav al Hillel sheya korchan vebat achad veochlan sheneamar al matzot morim yochlu. That's a phrase you may recognize from the Haggadah. They used to say about Hillel that he would he would wrap them all up together and eat them together because the Torah says al matzot morim yochlu.
That's bizman abayis, right?
Right. I mean, here it doesn't have the words bizman abayis, but some versions of this do, and I think the Haggadah does. It says bizman abayis. Okay. In any event, so Hillel was the one that said you can eat matzot morim together. How exactly he knows from here that mitzvahs cancel each other out is not 100% clear, but the straightforward thing seems to be the Torah told you, you have a mitzvah of matzah, you have a mitzvah of maror, eat them together. They're going to cancel each other out because of the taste, because of the concept, because of whatever. No, they're not, because I told that, so, but because the Torah is telling you to eat them together. And you might have said, and this is something that Tosu deals with, is that here the Torah is telling you, it's a special case. That doesn't mean it's true everywhere. But in any event, that's what we're assuming. That's how he knows. You have to eat matzah, you have to eat maror, and that's how you know. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Cholkin alav chaverav al Hillel. So Rabbi Yochanan says, the Hillel's contemporaries, his colleagues, argued with him. D'tanya, Yachol yehe korchan bebarachat ve'ochlan kederek shehillel ochlan, Talmud lomar al matzot umurim yochluhu. So the Chaverim said, could it be that a person should be wrapping them together and eating them like Hillel? Talmud Lomar, the Torah says, Al Matzot Morim Yochluhu. Rashi says here, the emphasis is on the word Yochluhu. It's a plural kind of word that you should eat them. It doesn't say Al Matzot Morim, you should eat it. It says you should eat them, which can be explained. It's a reference to matzah and maror. But the Rabbanan understood you should eat them could mean even one by itself and the other one by itself.
Even or specifically?
So that is a very strong question. Mm-hmm. Here, I mean, and we're going to get into a debate about what exactly Rabbi Yochanan meant, because that's going to be a critical point in terms of understanding what's happening. Let's take for our purposes now, I don't even know what the simplest reading is. This is where the sugya starts to break down in terms of the Rishonim. But let's assume that Rabbi Yochanan is diametrically opposed to Hillel. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Yochanan says, Hillel said you have to eat them together.
Right.
The Chachamim say you can't eat them together. You shouldn't eat them together. You should eat them separately. Okay. Matkifla Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi asked made a logical attack on Rabbi Yochanan. If you're right that the Chachamim, the Chaverim say you shouldn't eat them together, you can't eat them together, my afilu, why does it say afilu? It says even. You can even eat them, this one by itself and that one by itself. Meaning, if it was true that they held you shouldn't eat them together, it should have said you shouldn't eat them together. Don't eat them together. What does it mean? You can even. Even implies that you could do it some other way too. Ella Amar Rav Ashi, Hai Tana Hachik Tane. Rather, Rav Ashi says this is what the Tana means. Yacholo Yatzabahu Yadecho Vato Ela Imken Korchan Bibat Achad Veochlan Kederch Shahilal Ochlan. Could it be that you cannot fulfill the mitzvah unless you combine them together like Hillel did and eat them together? Talmud Lomar al matzot mumarim yochluhu afilu zebifnei atzma vzebifnei atzma. Rav Ashi says, Rabbi Yochanan, you're wrong. You thought that it meant, they argued to, in the extreme and said you couldn't do it. But it says afilu. So what it really means is the Rabbanan say, do you think that if you don't do it like Hillel, you're stuck? If you don't make the sandwich, that it's not going to work? It'll still work. You right. can even do it like this and like that. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hashta, the low it. So the bottom line seems to be, it's not clear if Rabbi Yochanan is totally out, if he responds, but it sounds like what we're saying, at least according to this view, is that Hillel says you must eat them together. Rabbi Yochanan says, according to the Rabbanan who argued with Hillel, that you can't eat them together. And Rav Ashi says, the Rabbanan never said you can't eat them together. They just said you could eat
you're
them
not required to.
This way, you could eat them that way, you could eat them however you like. Hashta delo itmar hilchata lo kehillel velo kerabbanan. Now that we have not stated the halacha, we don't know if the halacha is like Hillel, we don't know if the halacha is like the Rabbanan, mevarech al achilad matzah ve'achil, v'hadir mevarech al achilad maror ve'achil, v'hadir achil matzah v'chasa b'hadi adade below bracha zecher l'mikdash kehillel. So, yeah, this is now what we do. Now that we don't know if the halacha is like Hillel, or the halacha is like the Rabbanan, what should you do? First, you make a bracha on matzah and eat it, then you make a bracha on maror and eat it, and then you take the maror and the matzah and put them together, and you don't make a bracha, and you eat them together, zecher l'mikdash kehillel. So we're going to have to understand what exactly this means. So what I want to deal with, we talked a little bit about the concept of bittel, but what I want to deal with is this: the question that we asked before. What exactly is the purpose of the korech that we eat? The language here is a little bit ambiguous. The last lines that we've read here, it's not clear, because on the one hand, it sounds like this is a suffix in halacha. I don't know if I should do it like this. I don't know if I should do it like that. So we're trying to do something which covers all of the bases. So one possibility is, and just to put a little bit of meat on it without going in too much, but one possibility is, Hillel holds you need to eat maror together with the matzah. You can't fulfill maror alone, just without the matzah. And therefore, that's one possibility, and you have to, so somehow this eating of the korech is functional. I'm trying to make sure I fulfill maror properly. I'm trying to make sure I'm fulfilling the mitzvahs of the night properly.
So would Hillel think, in an ideal situation, achilas matzah deraisa, then have korech make achilas maror and eat matzah and maror together?
Yes, that's exactly what we'll see. That's what Tosfos says. Tosfos says that. According to Hillel, you should have eaten the matzah by itself, and then you eat the maror together with the matzah right away.
Why can't we just accept the way it is in the Haggadah that it is a remembrance of the way it used to be done in the temple?
Yeah, so that's the other possibility, which is, because there's a strange language. If this was just a question, I don't know how to do the halacha. So we know how these things usually go. That we don't know if the halacha is like this. It usually, I'm not an expert here, but a lot of times, I think, the Gemara doesn't say you should to try and figure these things out. We'll have a debate. Sometimes you do. Sometimes in terms of brachas, a lot you see it. But anyway, the Gemara will say, we don't know if we do it like this way. We don't know if we hold like this one or that one. So here's what you do, period. Here it says, we don't know if it's like this one or that one. Here's what you do. And it tells you the reason. Zecher l'mikdash kehillel. No, it's not. It's not zecher l'mikdash. Based on what we just said, it's not zecher l'mikdash kehillel. It's, I'm trying to eat maror and fulfill the mitzvah of maror. It's not zecher l'mikdash at all. So the language of zecher l'mikdash kehillel, we'll see, leads some people to make the conclusion that you just draw the conclusion you just did, which is, this is not a kiyum of a mitzvah. There's no mitzvah here at all. We're doing matzah, we're doing maror. That's it.
And then we're omitting.
And then there's a thing that you do, it's a new thing called zecher l'mikdash kehillel that you have to do. Okay. So that is the sort of the background. What we have this question. We read the Gemara. The Gemara has a statement of Hillel that you shouldn't eat matzah together with maror off the bat. You should eat matzah and then maror separately. And then we have the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and the statement of Rabbi Ashi trying to define the people that argue with Hillel. And then the Gemara at the conclusion says we don't know how we hold, and so therefore we come up with the sequence, which is what we do today. The question is the achila of the korech somehow part of a fulfillment of the mitzvahs of the night, or is it something else? And we'll see at the end a couple of little practical differences based on that. Okay. And there are two things, I think, that stand in the way, two possible mitigating factors, in terms of whether or not this is considered a mitzvah, or in terms of answering the question, whether or not it's considered a mitzvah or not. Okay, the first question that we have to ask is, we said here that Hillel would wrap them all together. And the pasuk in the Torah is, it's actually talking about Pesach Sheni, not Pesach Rishon. Bechodesh Hasheni ba'arba asar yom bein harbaim ya'asu oto. On the second month, the 14th day, in the evening, afternoon, they will do it. In other words, the Korban Pesach, not something else. Al matzot u'morim yochluhu. They should eat it on matzahs and mar. So it's the plain value, the straight reading is, you're supposed to take the Korban Pesach, and this everyone likes to describe, it's a shawarma lafa. You take the Korban Pesach, you take maror, you take matzah, which is basically a lafa, you wrap it up, and that's what we're talking about. Hey, you should take. That's what Hillel says. What does it mean? It means you take all these things, put them together, and eat it. So one possibility here is that Hillel holds that when you have the Korban Pesach, you have to eat, what is his ideal sandwich, the real sandwich, is to have all of them together. That's one way of looking at it.
I would imagine if you were going to make brachas, you could make three brachas before you ate.
What does the Rambam say? I think he says... No, he doesn't... Oh, the Rambam doesn't help because of what I'm about to say. That's tricky. I think he says if you have to check. Okay. But in any event, so that's one possibility. This is a straight reading. It sounds like you have to make all of them together. If that's true, then today, when we don't have a Korban Pesach, it's clear that the sandwich that we're making may be... You can't do it anymore.
You can't replicate.
There's no sandwich. It's fake. It's not a real sandwich. The Korban Pesach is missing. There's no meat in your shawarma, and without the meat, it's not much of a shawarma. Fine. So that's one possibility, is that if it includes the Korban Pesach, then you're finished. You're finished off the bat. You have to say that whatever we're doing is some sort of memorial. It can't be the other way. The other possibility is that it never says anywhere technically that he has to eat it with the Korban Pesach. It just says, the only things we see mentioned are matzah and maror, and then again, Omer Lavel Hilshia Korchan Bebarachat. He would wrap them together at once. What? I don't know. I think actually the Haggadah might say Pesach Matzah Maror, if I'm not mistaken, which is interesting. I'm not sure. I can't check that now. No. Oh, do we? No, it's not in the part that I printed before. Okay, anyway, but it doesn't say anything about matzah and maror. So actually we find, and so there's a possibility here, that the sandwich that we're talking about is just matzah and maror. The Korban Pesach is eaten separately. Even when he used to do this, he would only wrap matzah and maror together. Korban Pesach was on the side. And so if that's true, then there's a possibility, still open, that when we do this matzah and maror sandwich now, that actually is a real, that's the real deal, that's the real sandwich. So this question we find is a clear, straight-out machloket rishonim, about whether or not it included the Korban Pesach or not. If you look in the Rashbam, here, in the Gemara, it's the Dibur HaMatkil Korchan Bebat Achat. So he wraps them together. The Rashbam says outright, what does it mean? Korchan Bebat Achat, Pesach, Matzah, Umaror. Korchan Bekrach Echad, Kmo Korcho Begemi. So he said, what did he wrap together? He wrapped Pesach, Matzah, and Maror. All three of them were together as one. Korchan, and you korchan means he wrapped them all up together, like wrapping it in a rubber, like some sort of thing that you in a peel or something that the Gemara discusses later. Oh no, maybe not here, but near it, wherever it is. So that's the idea. So the Rashbam says outright, I hold it means you put Pesach, Matzah, and Maror inside. If you look, I don't have the Rambam here for you. I actually may have the language here in the back, but if you look at the Rambam, The Rambam very clearly does not say that. The Rambam's language is, in the time when we had the Korban Pesach, you had two options. He, based on the way he paskins, there's two options. Either you can eat them, the matzah and the marah together, you can eat the matzah separately and the marah separately. That's one halacha. And the next halacha is, and then you take the Korban Pesach and make a bracha on the Korban Pesach and eat it. It's crystal clear in the Rambam that he did not hold that you're supposed to put the Korban Pesach, the food, the Korban Pesach inside. So this is not, you know, I didn't discover this idea. This is pointed out by the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim in Shulchan Aruch, wherever it is, Simen Tafayin Hey, we'll talk about it a little bit more. The Prima Gadim points out that this dispute, the question about whether today, if the thing that we're eating today is really a mitzvah, or if it's a zecher of some kind, is dependent on whether on this question, on this machloket rishonim. Was the meat originally included or not? If you hold like the Rashbam, that the meat was included originally, then you're going to say that today it's just a zikarim. And in fact, if you look carefully, the Rashbam seems to say that. The second last one on the page, zecher lemikdash kehillel, what does it mean? He emphasizes this phrase, Zecher LeMikdash KeHillel, and he says, Kamo Shehaya Osa Hillel B'Zman SheBeit HaMikdash Kayam Shehayu Ochlin Psachim. This is like what Hillel used to do. When did he used to do it? When they had a Korban Pesach. When they had a Korban Pesach, this is how they would do it. And if we're trying to recreate something with our, I mean, it's not the real deal either way. This is not 100% proof, but it sounds like he's indicating the main point here is when they had a Korban Pesach, then he could really do it. Now without the Korban Pesach, you can't even do it at any level. Okay, that's one. And so he says that if you hold like the Rashbam, this is the conclusion, it's just Zikaron. If you hold like the Rambam, that the sandwich never included the meat, the sandwich was only the matzah and the maror, then perhaps you will say that it has some real value. That was issue number one. It is, just to note, it is possible to still get around this, because you could say, even if you hold that the meat was originally included, when Chazal created the mitzvah of Maror D'Rabbanan, they included some component of this kind of sandwich as part of the mitzvah of Maror D'Rabbanan, but for that you have to write a whole Masechta, like, of extra stuff, which is not included anywhere. I didn't see anyone say that, I was just thinking about that. Okay, that's question number one. And question number two, so that's the Prima Gadim says that's all you have to answer. If the meat was included, you're good. So I'll agree that if you know that the meat was included, clearly now it can't be anything but Zecher. But I think even if you don't hold that way, there's still another factor which needs to be discussed in terms of figuring out whether or not what we're doing now is a mitzvah. And that question is, does Hillel hold that you can be Yotze by eating a kazayit of maror by itself? We talked about this at the beginning. If you read it carefully, it's not clear what he said. He just says, you have to eat matzah alone. You can't eat matzah and marah together at the beginning, because matzah is deraisa and marah is derabbanan. You have to eat matzah alone. He doesn't say anything about whether you can eat marah alone. Apparently, you can't eat matzah alone. But maybe the marah derabbanan still requires the matzah to come together. I don't know. He doesn't say anything about it. And as we, you know, I sort of mentioned, I hinted at this before, but this question may depend on how you read the flow of the Gemara in terms of the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and then the statement of Rav Ashi. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the other people argued with Hillel, and Rav Ashi somehow modifies this idea that the other people argued with Hillel. And here we see that there's a little bit of a debate. What do both sides hold? We're not going to go through all of them. But in preparing, I like wrote up a whole, like I went through a bunch of the Rishonim and tried to write up what each one holds about each thing. But here, in this case, there's a debate. Hillel says you have to eat them together, or there's a mitzvah to eat them together. The Chachamim say, at the very least, you don't have to eat them together, you could eat them separately. Does Hillel also hold that you could eat them separately, but you just, you know... Mm-hmm. So Tosfot says, we don't have to read the whole Tosfot, but Tosfot says that really both of them hold you can do either one. And the question is only a question of emphasis. If you look in the Tosfot, Ella, Dibur Matchil Ella, it's like three lines from the end, or four, where it says, V'im Tomar, he says, V'im Tomar, Minnalan de Savar Hillel, De'ein Mevatlot, Dil Mashani Hacha, De Galekra, How does Hillel know that they're not mevatel each other? This is the question I mentioned before. Maybe it's different here, because in this case, the Torah told you that they're not mevatel each other. V'od, hal rabbanan nami ein mevatlo, da'im karcha nami yatzi. He asked the question, according to the Rabbanan, they also, it's not the case that they're mevatel each other, because the Rabbanan also agree that you could eat them together. Here he's assuming the Rabbanan hold that you could eat them together. And then he says, "V'yesh lomar midesaver lechadchila yesh lo lichroch ubedieved nafik kilo karich." Now he's referring to Hillel.
What does that mean that you can eat them together? Does that mean that it's as opposed to you're not allowed to eat them together?
Correct.
Or it's, is it opposed to eating them together doesn't accomplish the mitzvah?
Right. So he's saying that it sounds like what Tosfos is saying is that the Rabbanan say you can do whatever you want. You don't have to eat them together. If you do, nothing bad happened. If you don't,
have you accomplished the
mitzvah? If you do, the mitzvah is fine. We're not telling you what to do. You can eat them separately. You can eat them together. We really hold they're not going to mevatel each other, so there's no issue. Fine. But if that's true, then what does Hillel hold? So he says what Hillel holds is lechadchila yeshu lechroch. The primary thing, the better thing to do is to have them together. Ubidiyaved nafi kilo karich. But if you didn't put them together and you ate them separately, even Hillel will agree it's fine. Okay, that's one view that's presented here in the Tosfot. Tosfot says both sides agree you can do both, and the only difference between Hillel and the Rabbanan is Hillel says you really ought to eat them together. If you didn't, it's okay. That's one view. The other view is quoted, it starts to involve, we won't go into the nitty-gritty details, but it starts to involve a whole dispute in the Rif. If you open up the Rif at the back, the Rif has the first statement of Hillel, that you should eat matzah by itself, because now mevatlu tzu, etc. It's going to cancel it out. And then he also quotes the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, but Hillel's colleagues argued and said, no, you can eat them separately. So the way that this is interpreted, there's a debate about how you're supposed to read the Rif, we're not going to read inside, but the Baal HaMa'or, one of the Mefarshim on the Rif, always attacks the Rif, assumes that what the Rif means is Rabbi Yochanan is saying there's a diametrical argument, like what we said. Hillel says you must eat them together. The Chachamim say you must not eat them together. You have to eat them separately. And it sounds like the implication is that Hillel holds that you're not supposed to eat them together. The Baal Maor says, in terms of his attack on the Rif, that I don't know what he's talking about, because everyone knows that after Rabbi Yochanan said that, Rav Ashi came and said, you didn't read this carefully, it says afilu, and when it says afilu, it really means we're just creating an extension of the opinion of Hillel. There's only one opinion. Hillel says you have to eat them together. The Chachamim are adding on, don't think that you can't eat them separately. You could eat them separately, and if you do, everything's fine. So what it implies, though, is the way the Baal Maor is reading the Rif is that the Rif is saying, Hillel holds you must eat them together, and the rabbis say, the Rabbanan say, you must eat them separately. Or you can eat them separately, I guess you could say. But for sure, Hillel is saying you must eat them together. Which means what Hillel is, which means what we're saying here at the beginning. Hillel is saying, look, really you must eat these together. Today, maror is derabanan, and matzah is deraita. They're at different levels. So there's nothing you can do. You have to eat the matzah by itself. But the maror still has to be eaten. The maror at a derabanan level still has to be eaten together with the matzah. You can't split those two away from each other. They have to be combined. Okay. So fine. So there's two. Those are two views. One view is they can be eaten. Hillel holds you can eat them separately. If you do, it's fine. And one view holds Hillel holds you must eat together. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
But only bismanabaya.
Even no. What we're saying is that the maror bismanazeh. All he said was the matzah
but
can
the
be split.
The matzah would still eat by itself.
The matzah you have no choice because it's deraisa. He says mishmei de gemara. My reasoning led me to this conclusion. What am I supposed to? What are you supposed to do? Or I have a tradition, whatever. What are you supposed to do? The matzah is now alone. The assumption is that there are two modes here of matzah. And people point this out. The one pasuk includes the matzah together with the mar. When you have the Korban Pesach, maybe they're together. And then when you don't have a Korban Pesach, matzah still retains its own independent identity and everything else fizzles away. But the mar component still has to have two. Okay, fine. Still has to be together. These two views also lend themselves to two different conclusions in terms of how we understand the end of the Gemara. So we'll start with the Rosh. The Rosh writes that if we would hold, I mean, the question is at the end here. The Gemara says, maybe we'll start with that point. The Gemara says, we don't know if the halacha is like Hillel, we don't know if the halacha is like the Rabbanan. So the question is, what exactly would the difference be if the halacha was like Hillel, or if the halacha was like the Rabbanan? We don't know if the halacha is like this or halacha is like that, therefore we do matzah, and then maror, and then sandwich. So the what Tosfot and the Rosh both point out is, according to Hillel, if we're talking about Durabanan now, we have to eat the maror. So Hillel says, ideally, you should eat everything together, the matzah and the maror. You can't, so the matzah has to be separate, right? But, so you have to eat a kazayit of matzah by itself first, that's for sure. But then, afterwards, you could eat the matzah, more matzah, and your maror to accomplish the maror. Right, this is what you mentioned at the beginning. Right. You get a kazayit of matzah, and then after your initial mitzvah of matzah is taken care of, when you want to do maror, you can still eat that with matzah, because now this matzah, the second matzah that you eat, is not for a mitzvah. You already fulfilled the mitzvah is done. You'll eat it together. We have a concept of the mitzvah of doing kricha, of having them together, and so that's what you'll do. That's according to Hillel. According to the Rabbanan, since this concept of kricha doesn't apply, and here we get into another point, so and you have to eat the first matzah by itself. If you would eat the maror de Rabbanan and more matzah, this second matzah is not even a mitzvah, it's nothing. It's reshut. Right. You don't have to eat it. So what we're going to say is just Rabbanan. Like... Right, exactly. Just like the Rabbanan maror would have canceled out the deoraita matzah, the second matzah that you would eat in your sandwich, which has no it's like adding cottage cheese to it, it's going to cancel out the maror. And therefore, according to the Rabbanan, you must eat a kazayit of matzah, and then a kazayit of maror. You have to do the maror by itself, you can't add the matzah then, and then you sandwich them together. Both the Rif and both the Rosh and Tosfot have a variation of that presentation. They say, what does the Gemara mean when it says, we don't know if the halacha is like Hillel, we don't know if the halacha is like Rabbanan. What it means is, if the halacha was like Hillel, we would have matzah and then sandwich. If the halacha is like Rabbanan, you have to have matzah, maror, and then you could only have the sandwich later. Where they differ is in terms of the sandwich part. What is the emphasis in terms of the sandwich part?
Right.
So what the Rosh says is, we have a suffix. We don't know how to paskin. And therefore, we do this entire sequence so that we can be sure that we were yotze, the mitzvah, properly. We first eat a kazayit of matzah, then we eat a kazayit of maror, and then we have the sandwich. So my point is just as follows. Now we're going to tie these two points together.
The sandwich is making sure you're making the mitzvah of maror.
That's what it sounds like, which I'm just pointing... All I want to point out is there, what does that mean in terms of what he assumes about Hillel? If we said, like we said before, that Hillel holds you cannot fulfill the mitzvah just by eating maror by itself. Even today, even now, you must eat matzah together with the maror. They have to come together. So then we understand the Rosh very well. And it makes sense. The Rosh is a commentary on the Rif. It sounds like he's continuing that school, which is that you according to Hillel, you must eat the maror together with matzah even today. And so what the Rosh is saying is, what do we do at our Seder? We eat a kazayit of matzah because that's deraita, has to be by itself. We eat a kazayit of maror because we're worried about the opinion of the Rabbanan that eating matzah and maror together, even after you ate the initial matzah, is nothing, and therefore it's going to cancel out the maror. And then we eat a kazayit of matzah and maror together because according to Hillel, just eating a kazayit of maror by itself is also meaningless. I need to have matzah and maror together in order to be yotzei midrabanan. So by the time we get to the end, we have covered all the bases. We ate matzah, and we covered both possibilities in terms of maror. That's what it sounds like he's saying. That's what sounds like the view of the Rosh is. So if that's on that reading, the korech that we're eating is actually in order to make sure that we fulfill the mitzvah according to Hillel. We don't know if we paskin like Hillel, we don't know if paskin like the Rabbanan. According to the Rabbanan, one kazayit of maror by itself is fine. They say that explicitly. You can fulfill the mitzvah with the kazayit of maror. You could also have a sandwich, but you can fulfill it with a kazayit of maror. There's no need to have a sandwich. And once there's no need, the extra matzah that you add will cancel it out. And we also fulfill it according to Hillel, holds that you must have the sandwich in order to fulfill maror. That's the view of the...
That's why you don't have a bracha with the sandwich.
But the bracha is already a suffix. You made, and we'll see one of the points of difference here will be... whatever, it's fine to let the cat out of the bag. One of the points of difference here will be, can I talk? Because if this is true, that the korech is in order to make sure I did maror properly, that means the bracha that I made on the original maror is actually going on this sandwich also. So can you talk in the middle? Are you allowed to break it up?
How do you think that will make the hill?
Oh, so the Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion about that, and he thinks you shouldn't do it, and whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll get that in a minute. Yeah, so okay, so that's one side. That's the Rosh's side. Tosfot assumes, if we recall, that even according to Hillel,
what? You do what you like.
Yeah. Well, you should eat a sandwich. But let's say I didn't. Let's say I had a kazayit of maror. All good. So which means that according to Tosfot, if we're following along in our sequence, I ate the kazayit of matzah, so I can fulfill matzah. And then I ate the kazayit of maror. You're done. According to the Rabbanan, you're done because that's all you need to do. According to Hillel, it would have been better to eat a sandwich, but you're also okay. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Once I finish my first kazayit of matzah, now I don't know if I hold like the Rabbanan or if I hold like Hillel. So I'll eat a kazayit of maror by itself. That's fine according to all views. Which means the sandwich that you eat has no halachic significance in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah. It's only zecher lemikdash kehillel. And it sounds like that's what Tosfot actually says. This is following his view. Tosfot in Dibur Matril Ella, the second one, he says, im haya korech shnehem yachad tchila, if you would initially wrap both of them together at the beginning before anything, Haveate maror derabanan umevata lematzah. Then the maror derabanan would cancel out the matzah, which is at the Torah level. Fine. Okay, so let's say he eats matzah first. V'imaya ochal matzah below maror tchila, keshehaya korcha nacharkach, ate matzah derishut umevata maror derabanan. And if he would wrap them together second, he would eat the matzah and then eat maror together with more matzah, then the matzah, which is rishut, which is not a mitzvah at all now, the second matzah is meaningless, would come and cancel out the maror, which is a mitzvah midirabanan. Umihu yava kaimel an kehillel hava avdina nachi. However, if we held like Hillel, we would have done it this way. Hava avdina nachi. Matzah lechuda, matzah by itself first. V'hader matzah mar bekricha. But afterwards, we'd have matzah and mar together in a sandwich. Kevin shetzarich lasod midurabanan mitzvah kricha kehillel hava durabanan udurabanan. Because since Hillel holds that there's a mitzvah of doing them together, that's a durabanan udurabanan would be okay. It doesn't sound like here that we're doing this what we do because of suffix. And we know that Tosfot held that if you eat a kazayit of maror according to Hillel, you're yotze. So I think what the point of Tosfot is, it's zeichel mikdash kehillel, there's a zikaron. Okay, so what we've seen here is that in terms of the initial question we asked, is the korech that we eat a mitzvah, something to do with the technical mitzvah, is the korech that we eat zecher lemikdash? So we said it depends. And there's at least two mitigating factors. One, could be there's more that I didn't think of. One is the question of whether we eat meat, whether Hillel originally ate meat in his Korban Pesach. Because if he did, clearly we can't reenact that in any way, and it's just out the window. And that's what the Prima Gadim points out. And the second is, if we think that Hillel holds you can be Yotze by eating maror by itself, which we've seen is a debate. This is the debate between the Tosfot and others and the Rif, and that leads to this question, right? If I can fulfill with that middle kazayit of maror, according to Hillel, the mitzvah, it means the sandwich that I eat at the end is totally zikaron, it's totally just a memorial. If I can't fulfill with the maror in the middle, it means the sandwich is my attempt to make sure I fulfill maror according to all views. Okay, there are two, I came up with two practical nafkaminot of this question. One is what we mentioned before about talking. Can I talk from the time that I make the bracha on the maror to the time when I eat the sandwich? So I'll read, the Shulchan Aruch says, Omer zecher lemikdash kehillel. First you eat matzah, then you eat maror, then you make the sandwich. You say zecher lemikdash kehillel, ve'ochlan beyachad behasiba, Umisha berech al achilat matzah lo yasiach bedavar she'eno me'inyan hasuuda ad sheyochol krichazu. Once he makes the bracha on the matzah, he shouldn't speak about anything that's not part of the needs of the meal until he eats the sandwich. Kedesha ta'aleh birkat achilat matzah u'birkat achilat maror gam lekrichazu. Actually, it sounds like he's mixing the matzah in two, which I didn't really count for. But so in order to that the original bracha that you made should also count for the sandwich. So this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. It sounds like he's saying, this attempt of eating the sandwich is part of trying to fulfill the mitzvahs, and that's why you can't talk in the middle. And the Bach points out that depends how you hold. Depends if you hold this as just a memorial. If it's a memorial, it doesn't matter if I talk. Once I ate the maror, I fulfill the mitzvah of maror. This is only a symbol. And the maror is also a symbol, but it's at a higher level. Whatever. But this is only a symbol of the mikdash. I can talk in the middle. That's one nafkamina. The other question is, do you put charoset onto the sandwich? Someone asked me about this the other day. Do you put charoset onto your korech? Okay?
Some do, some don't.
Right. Okay, that's the simple answer. Some do, some don't. The background here is that maror, charoset, is supposed to be, the maror is supposed to be dipped in charoset. Or rather, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of charoset, you must eat charoset that's been dipped, where the maror of mitzvah has been dipped inside of that charoset.
Well, if you're trying
is it that way around?
Mitzvah, then you've got to dip it in.
What?
If you're trying to kayim the mitzvah, ensure that you're doing the mitzvah.
Or sorry, maybe it's want the other way around. If it's maror...
You have to dip the maror.
And it could be both, actually. Because, yeah.
Wouldn't you then say that if you're saying that vechmoski higdol is to make sure you're doing maror, then you've got to have charoset. So.
Yeah.
And if on the other hand, it doesn't matter.
Right, that's the point.
That's
so,
I mean,
you could say it one way or another, I think, that the charoset, in order to fulfill it, must be on the maror of the mitzvah, or you could say that you have to dip the maror into... They're both true.
Right.
This is like already getting into mind. One time, I heard someone told me a story of Rav Yitzchak Yosef. It's a good anecdote. He came to speak. He is a big Sfar, he's Rav Avadya Yosef's son. So he wrote, the Yalkut Yosef, which is the huge multi-volume work, he actually wrote it. It's the opinions largely of his father, but he wrote it down. He's the chief Sephardi rabbi of Israel now. So he was told me he was speaking somewhere, and, they like to make fun of Ashkenazi learning. So he said, the Ashkenazim, they see a cake, a plate with cake on it, and they want to know, is the plate under the cake? Is the cake on top of the plate? Just make a bracha and eat the cake. What do you have to analyze so much? I'm not sure, but I don't know if I subscribe to that, but it's a good anecdote either way. But the point is, this is where the difference would be. If we say that we already fulfilled maror with the first eating of maror that was without a sandwich, then I don't have to put charoset on my sandwich. I'm done. The sandwich, again, is symbolic.
Right.
Whatever minimal stuff I do, it's just totally symbolic.
But you do, because...
Because
it's a zecher. So
yeah.
So you're graphically illustrating how it was.
Yeah.
Right?
Granted. You're right, and you could if I was just coming up with this as a thought question, you're right. You could just say that it's only graphic, and I mean it is graphic. You still want to do it as recreate it as much as you can.
Right.
But presumably, and this is where I led me to start thinking about if anyone says if you ate maror without charoset on it. Did you have to eat more maror with charoset on? I haven't seen that anybody says that. Because if that was true, then we would say, then I could still push and say, well, what if I didn't put it on? Do I have to eat it again, the sandwich? But anyway, whatever. But you're right. It could be that it's true. But if you hold that you're trying to fulfill the mitzvah, then for sure you must put it on. There's no choice. So in fact, in the Shulchan Aruch, we find both possibilities. The Mechaber says, acharkach, this is no tell matzah shlishi. This is the description of the korach. You take a third matzah, ubotzea mimana, and break from it. Vekorcha im maror, you put maror together with it. Vetovla b'charoset, and you dip that in charoset. That's the mechaber. Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah adds, v'yesh omrim de'ein latavlo. Some people say, don't dip it in charoset. V'chenu b'minhagim, v'chen ra'iti noagim. So the Mechaber says you should put charoset, and the Rambam says other people say that, and the Ramah says you should not put charoset. When the Mishnah Berurah explains this, why not dip it in charoset? He says, why wouldn't you dip it in charoset? Shehare krichazu, he's zecher lemikdash kehillel. This sandwich is only a zecher. It has no mitzvah purpose. The hillel haya mekayim mitzvah charoset b'maror zeshe b'kricha. And hillel would, he says it that way, hillel would accomplish the mitzvah of charoset using the maror, which was in his sandwich.
Right.
You have to dip the maror shel mitzvah in the charos. Sharei lo haya ochel maror klal kodem krichazu, because he wouldn't eat any other maror before that. V'gam bezet tzarich l'nar charos da. But some people say you shouldn't. Why not? Tam, the reasoning is shikvar kiyim mitzvat charoset b'tibul rishon. He already accomplished the charoset with the first maror. V'gam ein lachosh le'eres shebemaror, etc. Fine. There's other possibility that the reason for charoset is because there's poison or something that bitter that's going to damage your stomach in the maror, so you have to dip it inside. So if that's true, it doesn't matter if it's a mitzvah or not. Okay, that's a separate issue. But the Mishnah Berurah says black on white that this question, I mean, I don't know if he says for the he doesn't take it this far. He does say those who don't put charoset in the second one would do this because I already fulfilled charoset. Charoset's done. I don't need to do it again. Apparently, they didn't feel the pressure to try and make it as close as possible to what Hillel did. He wants to say the debate is not. The debate is exactly about that point.
Right.
How close are we? Do we need to be? But I think it also fits in with what we've been saying until now. If we're going to say that the second kezayit. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to imply that when he says that you can't talk in the meantime. If you say that the second kezayit is a kiyum of an attempt to make sure I fulfilled Mara in all possible ways, you have to put charoset on like the Shulchan Aruch says, because otherwise you didn't do, maybe I would never fulfilled charoset. And if you say not, then the Rama seems to be saying, don't worry about it, because you already fulfilled it the first time, this is just a zecher. Part of what comes out of this, you know, hashkafically a little bit, there are two things which I just thought emerged. One is the extent to which we stick in the zecher lemikdash into the Seder. I don't know if I mentioned it here, I mentioned it a couple of times the last few weeks, that the Seder is one of the places where we recognize that the core of it is missing, the real core of what we're supposed to do. That's why we say L'shana Abba B'Yerushalayim. Say it then at Yom Kippur. So my Rebbe, said Rav Aaron Kahn said, I mean, I don't know if he probably, this is probably for elsewhere as well, though, why those two times? Because those are the two times where the core... Yeah, the core of what you're doing, the heart of it is gone. The avodah of the mikdash on Yom Kippur is gone, and the korban pesach is gone. So this is part of what we do, and like it's we don't always do things zecher lemikdash, and if you could, whatever. But here, if we're going to say this is purely zecher, it's not a mitzvah. You see, it to the extent that we're trying to mix in the concept into the seder that something is seriously missing. We point out how we don't even know if we hold like Hillel, but we point out that when there was a Beis HaMikdash, if you would go see Hillel and his students, you'd see them eating the sandwich. That's one point. The second point is, it's clear, at least in Tosfot, it's a few of these sources, that somehow in the time of the Mikdash, you know, we think about Pesach, Matzah and Maror, or Pesach, Matzah and Maror as three different symbols. We talk about them at the Seder as three different symbols. Why do we eat Matzah? Why do we Maror? Why do we Pesach? The whole notion that you have to combine them together, I haven't fleshed this out yet, but the whole idea that you have to combine them together means that, according to Hillel at least, there's also some kind of unified symbol. They can't be separate. They have to be eaten together. The matzah and maror, there's a mitzvah, there's a concept that they must be eaten together. And there's also a concept that when there's no korban pesach, there's no concept of maror at a deoraita level. So I'm not exactly sure where to take that. But it's an interesting point that, just for thought, that at the time when there's a Beis HaMikdash, that these symbols cohere together. They have to be one unit, according to Hillel anyway. And now they don't. That's just a question. There is one final point, which I didn't pursue yet totally, is the Shari Tshuva points out here a possible third nafkamina, which is that if this is just a zecher, how much do I have to eat? If it's a real mitzvah, then I have to eat a full shir, a full kazayit of maror, maybe a full thing of matzah, I don't know. But if it's just a memorial, maybe you can eat a little sandwich like that. Who says you have to eat a lot? So the Shai Gasari appearance is a tshuva about it, where he says you have to eat the full shear, at least the minimal shear anyway, but that's a possible potential argument. Okay.